This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, bringing you the biggest stories from across Texas. The Headline gives you the news you need to be an informed citizen.
Managing editor here at Texas Scorecard, we're going to, like always, take a look at some of the big stories from this week, including vaccine mandates, a potential fourth special session, and a new conservative pro-family group entering the fray in Texas. We're going to talk about all that coming up. But if you're watching live, please feel free to drop down there in the comments. Let us know where you're watching from. If you have any questions, anything you want to comment on, please be sure to leave comments there. But first, vaccine mandates. Okay, this has been the story for a while now, especially as we have President Joe Biden's executive orders, OSHA ruling, saying that basically any employee that deals with a federal contract or they work for a large employer of over 100 people will have to get the COVID vaccine within the next couple months. Well, there could be some potential relief. That's right. This last weekend, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals put a temporary stay on the on Biden's mandatory vaccine mandate for federal contractors. This was a lawsuit that was brought in part by Texas's Attorney General Ken Paxton. He was joined in that suit with Louisiana, Utah, Mississippi, South Carolina, plus some additional businesses that had joined that lawsuit. That mandate was set to go into effect on January 4th. Right now, it's just kind of waiting on whether or not that actually moves through the court. The federal government has until the end of the day on Monday, the 15th, to respond. But meanwhile, we're seeing even here in Texas, Texas A&M University, which has approximately 500 federal contracts, says they are going to implement the vaccine mandate. And so we'll see just how much businesses actually pay attention to this, some of these schools and universities. All of this being tied up in the courts right now. And Jacob Asmussen, one of our senior journalists here at Texas Scorecard, you know, we've talked for the last few weeks about these vaccine mandates and the changing nature of this. But one thing seems certain to me is that while this plays out in court, it looks like the Texas legislature and the governor are really failing to act on this.
Well, that's right, Brandon. They could have taken care of this several months ago, even all the way back in January, right? When their regular session began, they could have passed a law that says, look, the government cannot force you to get injected with a shot, but they did nothing. And now it appears that there's a lot of questions surrounding, will they have another special session to take care of it? Tennessee did it. They did it in just a few days. Florida is planning on doing it. Will Governor Greg Abbott do the same here in the Lone Star State?
Yeah, so you have the Republican Party of Texas, okay? This is important. For the last few weeks, they've been calling for a fourth special session to, in part, address these vaccine mandates. And now they've got a new campaign. They're calling for it's a hashtag 4-day 4th, a 4-day fourth special session, noting that Tennessee did this in 3 days. They had a special session where they did this in 3 days. Florida's calling for a 5-day special session to do this later this month. And yet Texas has now had multiple 30-day special sessions, and yet lawmakers haven't acted on this.
Well, you're exactly right. But we do know when Texas lawmakers want to get something done, they get it done. We saw this earlier this year when the Texas Senate brought up a bill, basically took a proposed law the entire way through the legislative process in a matter of just a few hours, right? And so this whole talk of, oh, we ran out of time, oh, well, I don't know if we'll have enough time to do that. No. We know that when they want to do something, they get it done. So why aren't they doing this yet with the vaccine mandates?
And it's really starting to affect people. I mean, like I said, you have those dates coming up, January 4th. Some companies are saying in December they're going to lay off employees. But we're even seeing here kind of breaking news out here being reported that University of Texas at Tyler, for example, is requiring nursing students to get the COVID vaccine. And so, you know, you're seeing it, you know, at UT, you're seeing it at Texas A&M. These are, by the way, public institutions, and so it's interesting to see them being played along. I mean, they answer to the legislature, right? They answer to the state government, and yet you have Texans being forced to get a COVID vaccine. And so it remains to be seen. We've got a number of lawmakers, I think 15 at last time I counted, that have come out and said they want a 4-day fourth special session. They want to come back. They want to address these issues. But it's even starting to affect the governor. I mean, the governor is the only person who can call these special sessions. He's the only one who can list what items they can work on. And yet all three, Alan West, Chad Prather, Don Huffines, his primary opponents, who have been criticizing him over this issue, have said that they want a fourth special session. I mean, looking here, just a tweet from this week saying, from Chad Prather saying, call a fourth legislative session now. Waiting will be too late. Texas must fight these Biden mandates. People are losing everything by standing up for what's right and not allowing their bodies to be violated against their will. Do the right thing, Greg Abbott.
Yeah, and you're starting to see this kind of spread across the country, right? Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, University of Texas at Tyler, all these public institutions. Then you're going to start seeing more and more corporations and businesses, right, spread across Texas, firing people, forcing people to lose their jobs mm-hmm. because they won't get injected with the shot. And so will our state lawmakers, will Governor Greg Abbott do mm-hmm. something about it?
It definitely starts with the governor. Interesting story, though, that did come out this week is that some local officials are kind of trying to at least take it in their own hands. This week, we reported the mayor of Big Spring, Texas, a town of about 30,000 folks, if my memory serves, between Midland and Abilene, has signed his own order, essentially banning vaccine mandates within city limits. And so be interesting to see if this trend continues and other cities follow suit. Well, another big statewide news this week, the battle over critical race theory, okay, this controversial Marxist theory that has been infiltrating and seeping into Texas schools. Well, this week we found out it's also infiltrating Texas agencies. That's right. Last week, Republican candidate for governor Don Huffines, a former state senator, released materials provided by a whistleblower revealing that the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services, okay, DFPS, has been utilizing critical race theory in its training manuals. Now, employees of the state agency are required to agree. I mean, you can look at this story at TexasScorecard.com. They're required to agree with acknowledging institutional racism, white privilege, committing to being social justice warriors. And, you know, this is coming at an agency that is no stranger already to having some controversy coming out of it.
Well, yeah, like you mentioned, several months ago, a story came out that this agency also had harmful sexual ideology mm-hmm. on their website for children, mm-hmm. right? And so once Don Huffines' campaign exposed that, they actually took that down.
Right.
And so, you know, this agency that is supposed to protect families, protect children, mm-hmm. is teaching them harmful ideologies, racist ideologies. Mm-hmm. And Governor Greg Abbott is the leader of that organization. He appoints, you know, the leadership. And so they're kind of running wild right now.
Yeah, I mean, these are state agencies. And it's just amazing, especially when you consider how much was talked during this last legislative session where we had not one, but two bites at the apple to eliminate critical race theory, to ban critical race theory in Texas. It remains to be seen how effective that will be as the law goes into effect. But, you know, maybe the whole time we should have, you know, also been looking at the state itself, right? Looking inward, because it's not just the schools.
You're right. It's infiltrated all of these state government agencies. Mm-hmm. You know, the DFPS, they also were caught up in the child mutilation issue.
Sure.
Right? And they refused to say that chemically castrating a child mm-hmm. is child abuse. Right? Mm-hmm. And so they're teaching these very destructive ideologies to families, to children. Mm-hmm. And like you said, we got to weed this stuff out of the state government.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I think that's a good transition. You talk about some of this, just, you know, this gender modification, gender mutilation issues, and just how crazy it is. And it's interesting to see this week you have a piece mm-hmm. on Round Rock ISD here in Central Texas, where now you've got really this chaotic situation where they are allowing biological male students to use the girls' bathrooms, locker rooms, even staying overnight with girls on field trips. And essentially the school leadership seems like they're not really willing to do anything on it.
Yeah, and folks can read the whole investigative story at our website, TexasScorecard.com. Mm-hmm. But basically, we had a number of individuals come to us and tell us about their experiences, tell us what they were seeing in these district schools, and how they took this issue to the school board, to the administration, and they got essentially ignored. And furthermore, the administration actually told them that if someone identifies as whatever, a female, they will be allowed to go into the female restroom. So essentially, administration has created a free-for-all environment in the district schools where anyone can go into any private room, locker rooms, bathrooms, and like you mentioned, we reviewed documents that they are even assigning a biological male to room with females on an upcoming out-of-town school trip. And so they've created this environment, this open, free-for-all environment, no rules, and very disturbing, very troubling, especially in light of events like Loudoun County in Virginia, where you had a biological male go into the female restroom and very horrifically assault a young girl. And so that's that same kind of environment is happening right here in the Lone Star State.
Well, and you had the chance to speak with some of these students. I mean, I just can't imagine, right? I mean, how are they feeling about this situation, especially in light of not being heard by you know, the principal, right? School leadership that is probably people that they, you know, at least in that framework, you think would be an authority, and yet they're really letting their students down.
Yeah, and these students were shocked. They were concerned, and they were afraid to tell anyone because they said you automatically get labeled all kinds of, bigot, you're transphobic, you're this, you're that, when you simply want a safe place to change, to use the restroom. And so they said there's a lot of people that are concerned about this in the district, and yet they're afraid to speak out. And so the district has created this environment, but we'll see if parents rise up, enough parents rise up to shift it and create a safer place for their kids and their schools.
Well, it's certainly been, I mean, Round Rock ISD, right, has had now just about every type of controversy that you can imagine now. So you've got this situation where, you know, boys are allowed in the girls' restrooms and to go with them on field trips and things like that. But this is a school board that's been under fire for quite some time.
Yeah, well, really, that issue is just the tip of the iceberg. In the past, you know, couple months, they have really been mired in all kinds of corruption, controversy. You had the school board blocking parents from entering a public meeting. You had them utilizing district police officer to even throw parents out of a meeting who simply wanted to be in the meeting. You have all kinds of issues, you know, you have the racist ideologies in the school, the pornography, the pornographic materials being given to kids in schools. I mean, this school board, this school district has really been turning a blind eye to parents, but now parents are rising up and fighting back.
Right, and so as we look at that fight, I mean, you've seen this, right? Parents are rising up, they're fighting back. We saw it on elections last week where a number of school board members across the state and really across the country were ejected by voters, right? Parents who said enough is enough on these issues. And so we've seen this pressure starting, continuing, I should say rather, to build up. And it comes at a time where this week, actually it was yesterday, you broke the story and announced that American Principals Project, which is a national pro-family group, has launched their first state chapter right here in Texas, and they're seeking to essentially be the lobby for families in Texas.
That's right, Brandon. New pro-family fighters in the Lone Star State. American Principals Project, they're originally based in Virginia, and they have done a lot of fighting in the East Coast area, but now they're coming to Texas because of the glaring problems that they see. And in the article, what they say is, we see that Republican state lawmakers, Republican state politicians, repeatedly refuse to enact strong, needed protections for families into law, and other groups are covering for them.
Yeah.
And so this new group wants to come in, and they're brawlers. They want to fight in the campaigns. They want to fight in the elections. They don't want to be just an educational organization, or, you know, they want to get directly involved in the street fight of campaigns to kick out politicians who harm the families, who don't protect families. And so really exciting to see them come in. They want to expose the battle lines, is what they said, of who is actually protecting families and who's voting to do nothing. And so they're coming and they're going to get involved.
I think, you know, personally, I look at that. I think that's so important, especially part you said about other pro-family organizations covering for them. I mean, we've seen this in Texas, where Texas Values endorsed said, do not vote for Dade Phelan to be Speaker of the House because of his record on these, you know, LGBTQAI, you know, plus issues. Said, you know, we'd call members not to vote for him. Obviously, he becomes Speaker of the House. And, you know, just within the last few weeks, you have the leader of that organization, Jonathan Sines, taking pictures, participating in a fundraiser together with Dade Phelan. And, you know, there's countless other examples of this, but I think it just goes to show the way things are changing right now, where I think there's a real hunger for people and parents especially to not just sit by and let others do the work, but to actually get involved and get in the fight.
Yeah, well, and parents and citizens across the state, they're crying out for these protections, right? On the child mutilation issue, we've written extensively about that. The nationally known child abuse case of James Younger, right? It's legal in Texas for medical professionals to disfigure children, to cut off their healthy body parts or give them sterilizing cross-sex hormones and sterilizing drugs, right? It's legal for them to do that. Parents are crying out saying, look, state lawmakers, Governor Greg Abbott, pass a law to stop this, stop these procedures. And they have repeatedly refused to do that. So there's that issue. There's the women's sports issue, right, where biological males are currently allowed to compete and intrude on women's athletics, right? People have been crying out saying, look, we need to protect our girls' sports, right? So these we have all of these issues, the schools, all of these things where citizens are crying out for their lawmakers to do something, and they're not doing it. And so that's, that's why organizations like American Principles Project are coming in. They want to expose this. They don't want to cozy up to the politicians just to get invited to the next cocktail dinner. They want to expose this, and they want results for families in Texas.
Well, you mentioned it, protecting girls' sports. The legislature passed a bill to essentially prevent or attempt to prevent biological, you know, males participating in female sports, right, in a kind of an unfair way. But they stopped short of protecting college students, right? And this is going to be the American Principle Project's first sort of campaign. This is their first launch, is to expand that to protect college students because the NCAA, right, they threatened to move their championship games if they didn't. And they actually put out a video along with their launch. We'll take a look at that right now.
Governor Hutchinson in Arkansas.
Governor Gianforte in Montana.
Governor Reeves in Mississippi.
Governor Little in Idaho.
Governor Justice in West Virginia.
And Governor DeSantis in Florida.
All of these governors have signed legislation that protects female athletes in college sports.
They defied the empty threats of woke corporations and the NCAA and prevented biological males from taking our opportunities and our scholarships.
Why won't Governor Abbott protect us here in Texas? His bill protects some girls, but doesn't protect all of us.
Why are college athletes like us being left out?
Call Governor Abbott today and urge him to protect female athletes and college sports.
Again, you can read all about American Principles Project, their launch, and Jacob's exclusive interview with Terry Schilling and Chris Hopper, who are leading the organization here in Texas, at TexasScorecard.com. And thank you, Jacob, for joining me this morning. I want to say a quick hello to everybody watching. Lynette comments, she says, we need to take a strong stand against this ploy to teach our kids their leftist agenda and take away parents' rights. Certainly a sentiment we've seen from parents across Texas, especially over the last few weeks, last few months. Jennifer says she's calling her legislators in Montgomery County today, hashtag 4-day fourth, talking about calling on them to do a four-day long fourth special session to address vaccine mandates. State Representative Steve Toth from Montgomery County has said he is in favor of that, has called for a special session. I don't believe any of the other Montgomery County lawmakers have. And so, let us know what you hear back. Bruce watching from Carmine, Tiffany tuning in from Deer Park. Thank you for tuning in. I want to let folks know that if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, I've been saying it, but the deadline's coming up here for the Conservative Leader Awards. Those are going to be on December 4th in Irving, Texas. Ticket sales end November 24th. That's right, November 24th. But why wait till then when you can get them today? You're not going to want to miss the event. It's a ton of fun. Get to meet a ton of folks, fellow activists, fellow conservatives from across the state. And so you're not going to want to miss that. Be sure to get your tickets to that on our website. And also want to let folks know, of course, applications are open for our spring, summer, and fall 2022 fellowship program. If you or somebody you know between the ages of 18 to 25 are interested in coming down here to Texas Scorecard for a few months and learning the ropes and working alongside us, where we've got a paid fellowship that we're accepting applications for, go ahead and find that application on our website at texasscorecard.com/fellowship. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, if you have any questions, you're watching this later, please don't hesitate to drop a comment down there or reach out to us. But for right now, thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline from Texas Scorecard. We're live every Friday at 11 a.m. on the Texas Scorecard Facebook page to talk about the biggest stories of the week, so check us out there or listen to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever platform you prefer. And while you're there, you can also check out the ever-growing line of podcasts and programming provided by Texas Scorecard.